11 and 8. Hebrews, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is called what? Anybody know that? The what? Yep, the Faith Hall of Fame. Studied a lot of things about eternal things as we've studied this map and everything. And this, I'm going to try to come back and be with you whenever I can. We're officially moving tomorrow morning. And I'll still be sending my offerings back up here until I find something. Hebrews 11. And it has been a real blessing to be able to teach God's Word and to worship it with you here in this church. And it's very saddening to go. That I know I must. You know, that's one of those things. If it was just me, I wouldn't. But I have a family to take care of. And I can't do that here anymore. But I'm going to miss you, and please remember me in your prayers. I'll try to come back and be with you whenever I can when I'm moving things back and forth, you know, or down. Hebrews 11 and 1, the Faith Hall of Fame. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You know, one of these days we look forward to being with the Lord. We ought to, because we're just here for a little while. No matter how old we are, how long we live on this land, I've heard of people 100, I've known people over 100 years old. I used to go work in a horse stable, and there was an old man there, you know. He ran the place. He was about 50 years old at that time. Real old. Yes, there was an older man that hung around there. He was almost 100. Well, he ended up, I think he lived to be about 103 years old. Can't even remember his name now, but I remember his face. An old cowboy. He'd come over there and just hang around, just sit around out there in the shade in the summertime. And back then, he got 120 down there. But no humidity like up here, and it had a little bit of haze in the sky sometimes, so it kind of protected you. And he'd sit around there and drink Coke, and he used to have a saying. He said, did you know what? He said, you know, it's an absolute fact that if somebody lives to be over 90 years old, they don't die. They very seldom ever die. Well, actually, very seldom ever a person lived to be that old, so they very seldom ever did. That's what he used to say. He's gone now, and he lived to be 100 and something. Abraham lived to be a long old man, didn't he? He was an old man. Had what's the oldest man in the Bible? What was his name? His name meant, when he is dead, it shall come to pass. That's what his name means. When he is dead, it shall come to pass. What was his name? What was that guy's name? What? What was his name, Mel? The oldest man in the Bible. Huh? That's right, Methuselah. When he is dead, it shall come to pass. That's what his name means. By the way, when he died, the earth was destroyed by water. The flood came. All right? Those names meant something. As old as those people are, and how long as they live, these old people. How old is the oldest person you ever knew, Mary? 80?
Well, it's a little job for me, but I'm
70. Well, we see these people, we see these things, but it's just a speck of time compared to this, isn't it? Oh, just compare this back here. You know, this looks real little, doesn't it? This should be real big. And this here should be like this. This is what it should actually look like. That's what it should look like. It should be a little tiny speck. Huh? No. But that's what it should be. But what we do in this life and how we spend our time as children of God, we have examples here in this chapter. These people lived and died. There are people that lived and died in the Bible that were saved and born again that did not leave good examples, did they? There's a guy in the New Testament named Jim. That's right. Paul says, Jim has forsaken me. He didn't want to work in the ministry anymore. He didn't want to help Paul. He just left. His name was Demas in Greek. It's actually Jim. That's what his name was. He said, Demas has forsaken me. He got caught up in the world. He wasn't a bad person, was he? Really? He just thought more about what was going on around him than the hereafter. He forgot that he was a traveler and became a homesteader. That was the difference. Paul was a traveler in this world. Peter was a traveler in this world. They were out fishing in the Sea of Galilee. That's what they did for a living, you know. They had homes and everything. Jesus came by and, come follow me, become a bum. That's what he told them. Come on, become a bum and follow me.
Now, is that true or not? Just come on, we'll just get what we get when we go along. We'll just kind of bang at somebody's doorstep and they'll give us something to eat. What? No, but that's exactly what they were. That's what they were going to be. That's the way the world looked at them. That's the way the world would look at them today. In all reality, if you look back in the culture, how many of you still see people out just traveling around on horses? That's all they do, is they just travel around, camp here, camp there. They might work here at some ranch for maybe $30 or $40, and they just buy some beans, and they'll travel on. Used to, that was 30 and 40 and 50 years ago, that was real common. They just lived, and they stayed out in the country like this, and they just traveled. And they travel from one end of the country to the other. There are people that do that today. I saw somebody up here on the mountain the other day, out there, boy, he was up on West Guard Pass, and I felt for him. Traveling on. Just kind of nothing, not making any routes, just kind of traveling. On horses, he had a string of horses and he was traveling. You could tell he'd been on the road and had been on the road and was on the road probably all his life. At least for several years. Because his stuff showed the travel. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The Word of God tells us that we're going to have mansions in the sky if we serve the Lord. That's right. If we serve Him, we will. That's it. That's the whole deal. Remember, I've told you many times, there's a whole lot of difference between saved and those that are in the Lord's churches and following Him. You know, some of them just going to be there. Some of them going to have mansions. Those that have forsaken things in this life will be rewarded there. We know that Abraham is. We know Paul did. What was the price that they paid? What did they give to be there? Huh? All of it. They gave it all. Not talking about salvation, we're talking about service to God. They gave it all. If you want to aspire to that, which is a good, Paul says it's a good calling. Aspire to it. That's right. Aspire to it. Give it all. It all. The conviction, the evidence of things not seen. Well, we know what the resurrection is like because Jesus was raised from the dead, wasn't he? He raised other people from the dead at his same time, what they call the first fruits of the resurrection. We know that Enoch did not die in the Old Testament. He was just taken to heaven. That's a type of loss. Something to come. What is that, Eddie? Rapture. Rapture. That's a type of the rapture to come. We have a lot of types in the Bible.
Conviction, the evidence, the facts of things not seen. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be with Him. That's it. That's what it takes, trusting in Him. You don't trust without repenting. So many people today, I go to churches sometimes and they make me mad. I do get upset with people.
They say, come down and make a decision. Decision what? We're not going to embarrass you, just come down and we'll pray with you in private and all this kind of stuff. And won't embarrass you. You know what? When you repent of your sins, you don't really care about those things, do you? When the Lord is calling you with His Spirit, those things don't really matter, do they? Come and make a decision. What? To get up tomorrow? Start a new job? Have to make a decision to move. That's a decision.
But repenting of your sins and calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now that's a happening.
That's a new birth. That's something that's different than just a decision.
For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. God spoke the world into existence.
You know, and when you're a child of God, you believe these things. That book right there is God's instructions to us. It is. He tells us how He did things. If some school book tells you that some amoeba wandered around and joined up with another amoeba, and finally they ended up crawling out of a slime and wiggling their tails and finally ended up stood up on their hind legs and started yapping one day back and forth. I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to believe the Word. If this is the evidence
that God gives us. The worlds were prepared. They were spoken into existence. They were made. The worlds were made by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. You know, God is all around us. You know, there's a place in the Bible that says God will be in all and in you all and all in all and all of that. And I don't understand that. I can't fathom it. I get thinking about it. And it's just something beyond my mental human mind. How is He going to do that? How is He going to be in you all and all and all and all that? That's what it means in Greek. Just all in all in one. One thing, one being, kind of. How is that in harmony? Going, everything flowing all in the same direction. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Cain was salvation by works. Abel was salvation by grace. That's used over and over in the Bible, over and over again. Salvation is not of works, it is by grace only. Salvation. Through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. He was born again. You know, if you've been born again, you are righteous. Because God makes you righteous through the blood, through His blood. You know that no man will ever go to hell because of sin. You know that? No man will ever go to hell because of sin. Never. The Lord Jesus Christ died for every sin. You go to hell because you didn't believe. What does it say there? No man will go to hell because of sin. Sixteen says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not in His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe in him has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That is it. That is it. That is that
man does not go to hell because of sin. He goes to hell because of unbelief. God took care of sin. He took care of it. He took care of it.
What is a demon? What is a demon? What is a demon? Okay.
There are good beings and bad beings, aren't there? But they did make a decision, and the decision was final. How about Lucifer? Do you think he's ever going to get a chance for heaven? Why? Won't he? Because he already made his decision. It is final. They made their decisions back here in eternity past. That's when their salvation either stood or fell. God died, gave His Son, that He died for the whole world. The whole cosmos. Everything He created. That includes them too. But there's only one way. Still, hey.
That passage that Doug is referring to is likening the knowledge that a doomed spirit, Satan's angel, has of God. And a lot of people have the same knowledge that there's a God.
But they won't repent.
But they're not believing and giving their life to Him.
No. They don't repent and call upon Him. That's
in comparison to the writer's name.
That's what they're making there. See, the angels, well, when Jesus approached the guy called Legion, remember that? There, the Sea of Galilee. He was running around there naked to the tomb's feet. He says he spiritually just grabbed a hold of him and stopped him in his tracks. That's what happened to him. His forces that Jesus did. The creator of the whole world. He stopped him. He said, Jesus, thou Son of God, why? It's not time for us to go to hell yet. They knew they were going to hell. They already made their decision way back over here. We make our decision now in this life. And it's not your good works. It is whether you repent and believe. You know, when you repent, what do you do? You tell God what you are. Homeologo is a word in Greek. It means to say the same thing that God already knows. Say the same thing back to Him. Homeologo. To say the same thing that He already knows. He knows we're sinners. And He paid for it. He already paid the price. Every sin you ever sinned. Every sin that every man, any man ever sinned, the lost and the saved. That's how much grief that Jesus experienced on the cross of Calvary. People got living and told him, well, He didn't die for those people's sins. The Bible says He died for all men's sins. He died for every sin that was ever in the world. Time's passed it all. The whole thing. Does that make you know how much Jesus suffered now on the cross of Calvary for you and for all mankind, for the whole world, for the whole world? The whole thing. All of it.
And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. You know, when you come and say the same thing, you say you're evil. You need to be saved. I remember when I did that. I didn't know how much evil it was in my life. Things at that time. But Jesus paid for it. He paid. Back in Hebrews now, the 11th chapter. God testifying about His gifts through faith, though He is dead, He still speaks. He's talking about Abel. You know, When somebody kills you in this life, when you die, you're not dead. Only your body's dead. Your spirit's not dead. You know what? If your spirit's born again, it never dies.
Spirit that never dies. What's a song like that? Something like that? I'm not very good at that kind of stuff, but soul that never dies is sin. I mean, the soul, the spirit that is born again, never dies. His spirit did not die.
By faith Enoch was taken up, that he should not see death. And he was not found. What if he had said, Lord, I don't want to go. I haven't done this before.
We're going to look at some of these other things here. Remember old Vance Hauser said one time his grandfather says, Vance, let's go. And he always used to go with his grandpa every place. He said, Vance, let's go. Come on, let's go. He said, Grandpa, where are you going? Grandpa just walked off the ledge. Came back later on and said, Grandpa, how come you just left me? He said, if you really wanted to go with me, you wouldn't have to. You'd have just gone. Yeah. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? No. When you follow him? Don't ask him where you're going. Just follow him.
Follow. Just follow. Enoch followed. He said, all right, let's get this over with. Beam me out, Scotty, you know. And he was translated. And he was not found because God took him, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. What pleased him? Because he's such a good man? No, because he believed in God. He believed. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. This faith. Yeah, that's right. Where do you get this faith? Where do you muster it up? Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9 tells us that in the faith that it takes to be born again comes from God and comes from you. You can't muster it up. You can't pray through. It's a gift. Gift. Grace means gift. Did you know that? Saved by gift. What? Not by works, by gift. Saved by gift. That's what grace means. Charis. Gift. Something, it says in the lexicons, that is not deserved. That's what faith is. For by faith are ye saved. And that faith, circle, is not of yourselves, it is of God.
Oh, what a great God.
Yeah. Great and holy and divine. And who justifies you? You look at your brother and say, oh, what a dirty rat he is. God says, that's my son. I will justify him.
Your eyes, maybe he's not so good, but God, that's his son.
Possible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah. Noah means peace and safety. And those that went on the ark with Noah were in peace and safety. In the church age, we're living in the age of peace and safety. If we trust in him, there will be peace and safety. But what came when the flood came? That destruction. Tribulation. Another type. Noah warned by God about things not yet seen that had never rained. Did you know, Thomas, that in Noah's day, Noah said, he preached for 120 years. That's a long time. And he said to those people there, it's going to rain. They said, what? It's going to rain. And they say, what? He said, it's going to rain. What's rain? We've seen enough in the history now to know what tribulation is like.
But the church is the Lord Jesus Christ supposed to be preaching. There's a time coming when there is no escape.
There's no escaping it. Too late. Things not yet seen in reverence. He prepared an ark for salvation for his household, by which he condemned the world. He believed they did not, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He believed. For 120 years he was out there chopping and shaving wood, preaching and working. Preaching and working, working and preaching. Building a big old boat. And nobody knew what a boat was because they'd never seen one before. Never had seen any rain. Had no idea what was going to happen. But God told him to do it, and he did it. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. God said, Abraham, and he said, yeah, Lord. Follow me. He didn't ask him where he was going. He just says, okay, Lord. Well, he knew that God was talking to him. God calls to your heart you. He seeks something to do. He drawn you to salvation, you parted to him. You don't have forever, he said. You know what? It's a gift. Whatever time in your life it is, it's a gift. Abraham. This is you're really looking for these 8, 9, and 10. This verse 8, 9, and 10, this is quite a deal right here. By faith, he lived as an alien. That's the type for us now. He lived as an alien in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents, and Isaac with Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. And he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. How much foundation does a tent have under it? You ever thought about that? How many of you ever lived in a tent? How much foundation did you have there, Eddie? You don't have a foundation. All you got is a tent peg. And you're subject to the blowing dust and the winds and the rain and hail and everything. My people lived in tents for many hundreds and thousands of years. American Indians, the Plains Indians, they lived in tents. They all the foundation they had was skin stone on the floor and tent pegs and about 28 tent poles stuck up around in a great big, if that was a big TV. 28 poles, that was a big house. They laid around in those things, and that's all the foundation they have, and they followed. And they lived day by day. They followed, trying to follow the rules that God has laid down to them way back over here before he divided the earth. Lived every day, just like it was God gave them what they needed. That's what he told them to do back over there. You go out and you tread down the earth, and you trust me, and I'll take care of you. Abraham lived in tents. He never knew what a foundation was in his life. You know, he can go through great big cities like that. How about Egypt? There's foundations laid there in those pyramids that are still there today. Pyramids are still just as firm and everything as ever was.
Went down there at that house, and I'm trying to get down there. Had the inspector come out, and he looked underneath that house. He came out from underneath there, and he said, "Jim." He said, "This house is built like something. I can't explain it." He said, "You know those pillars underneath there?" He said, "Those are 6 to 20 feet deep. They drilled in this ground and poured those buttons. 6 feet to 20 feet deep. And the day made this thing stay there. And I thought about Abraham and his tent pegs. The only foundation he ever has was the tent peg stuck in the ground. He believed that one of these days that God will have a great, great city whose foundation builder and layer was God. He wasn't looking for that here in this life. He was looking for it in the life to come. He never lived in anything but a tent.
That's all, just a tent. Go back up there and look again at these verses. Start back in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. He left a gigantic city, Ur of the Chaldees. They had some of the largest, the largest library and learning center in the world was there at that time. Some of the libraries they've unearthed. This was a gigantic learning center. Wealthy people. And people did not leave their families, did they? Well, they just built homes in the house. When the son went out and got married, he brought his bride, they just built some more rooms on the side of the house, and they had these great big mansions. Well, they knew this about some of these Bohemian brethren or so. They knew the same thing. They have great big gigantic spread out houses. The son goes out and gets him a bride, just come on, they just build some more over that house. And that's the way they lived back then. It was totally foreign for Abraham to leave his family. Tells how old his father was, how old Abraham was. Abraham wasn't a young chicken.
He was getting up in age then when God called him. Come on out here, Abraham. Leave everything that you've ever known to be firm and foundation. Where you thought you were going to live and be was born and lived and would be buried and your family was going to be raised, Abraham, leave it and follow me. Because I can't use you there. I can't use you there in Ur of the Chaldees. I want to do something else with you.
Well, he couldn't use him there. The idea was to build the nation of Israel
out of that old man. Build a great nation that the whole world would look to in one time. David conquered everything around him. Solomon was the greatest mind of all time. We have the wisdom of Solomon written down. Psalms, Song of Solomon, his love life, everything there. His wonderful achievements that he made. Sin, his mistakes. People make mistakes in life, don't they? Right, he made them, he lived with them. I've made them, I live with them. That's just the way it is. What happened? His life. All of these things. The wonderful man after God's heart called David. One that loved God. Never bowed his knees to any foreign idol at all. He knew who his God was. It's the only thing I can point my life with. David. I look at my foul life and I look at him, I say, well, that's kind of like me. The foulness of it, anyway. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, I would be saved.
What a gift. What a present. We're coming to a time in the year when they observe the Lord's birthday. It's his. Even though he probably wasn't born this time of year, probably born in early in the fall. But this is the time they sat around. Read one of my magazines I got the other day. Pagans used to worship trees.
Decorate them up. Christians now, they decorate their tree and the tree points to heaven. To the one that gave the sun for us. Well, he did. There was a time that he was born in this world. But that isn't when he began. He began in eternity. His beginning was no beginning.
In the beginning was the Word, was Jehovah. That's what it says. The Word was toward the God. The Word was God.
Yeah. Eternal. Jesus did not have a beginning, but only in the flesh to body him.
And my sins. The only reason that he came into the world was to pay for our sins. That was it. Abraham obeyed, going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. God guided his footsteps. Sometimes we have to do that. As I'm wandering along and trying to figure out where am I supposed to be going, I said, well, Lord, I guess I must be wandering your direction. You keep on wandering and doing these things. Boy, I've had some turmoil the last month and a half or so, 2 months. Had to place an appraise the other day by the insurers, and they insured it for $102,000. They said that's how much it's worth to replace it. And I gave $32,000 for it. Amen. That's God.
And that thing was advertised all over the country. All over. Everybody go out there and look at it. They went out there and did $2,000 of damage when they put all them signs up. Just made a mess out of things. I went back out there and cleaned it up. And I said, now, if they come out and make a mess again, I'll know it. It did it. You pay for it this time. Cleaned it all up. Called down there and said, hey, have you sent my stuff out yet to take care of this? And they said, no, we're not going to. It's going to take 3 weeks. I said, what?
3 weeks too late?
I said, man, I'm in a bind here. So I went praying some more. I prayed all the time. Well, I really wasn't praying. I said, Lord, now, I've put out a lot of money and all kinds of work and stuff. And am I going to lose this thing? I really need you. Step in here. Then somebody called in and offered me $2,000 more than what I offered. But the guy got mad at the other realtor. He looked angry.
He ignored him. Took it off the market yesterday. This wandering alone, trying to figure out what do you want, Lord? I guess there's something for me to do out there. Somewhere. Now I gotta go find that. Drive the tent pegs in there. This is where I was going to spend the rest of my life, right here, in this valley. 10 years ago, that's what I... 15, 20, 30 years ago, that's what I thought. That's what I planned. I planned that since 1950-something. And it changed. And I drugged my feet and everything because I didn't want to leave. I said, well, Lord, I'll bloom where I'm planted right now. I will do the best I can where I am today. And if you want me to do something else, just try to make the way. And he did, so far. They called me back and told me it's already in the mail. I thought I've got another one of these real cranky guys, and a woman had called me from there and told me whatever she could do to help me, that they'd do it. I called back and I said, well, expecting mercy again this time. I said, the insurance company's going to pay off just as soon as you get it. He said, did they ask about my schedule?
Popped right off to me like that. I said, I wouldn't be bothering you if this wasn't real important. And back in the background, I heard this woman's voice. You tell him that it's already gone. Somebody down there likes me. For some reason.
You know, something happens. Just being thankful. Like I said, I was wrestling those tires today and they fell together, and I don't know how in the world they fell together. They just did. I hope they stay aired up. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, in a foreign land, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob and fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Have you ever read in the book of Revelation of that great city in the sky?
What's it kind of like? Tell me something about it. What's the streets going to be paved with? Asphalt? When Solomon built the temple, do you know what the walls were made out of? Well, they were wood, but what was over the wood? Gold. Gold. Gold is a type of something in the Bible. What is it? Type of divinity. That's a God. Type of God. Silver is a type of redemption. Brass is a type of judgment. We're talking about the same. Many Bible scholars think when Jesus was born, he was born at the Feast of Trumpets. When they knew those silver trumpets of redemption, the time that he was born. Oh, those trumpets blowing and blowing and blowing. Those silver trumpets standing for redemption. He is our redemption. But that great temple that Solomon built was lined inside with gold, and it had candlesticks in it. All of an organ, lit with olive oil. It had slits in the wall for the light outside, for outside it was dark. You know how gold shines? Pure gold shines. It really reflects. It reflected those lights and came out through those slits. They weren't to let the sun in. They were to direct the shining glory of that place out to the world. That city, New Jerusalem, whose builder and maker and foundation and architect is God, will shine like a sun orbiting this earth. 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles deep. Gold. So shining like the sun in the sky. But there won't be any more need for the sun or the moon. For God shall be the light of it.
Divinity shining like the inside of that temple with that little light lit in there, just shining and throwing forth the light. Have you ever been to a fair? Carnival? And they have a light there, don't they? And they have with all these reflectors behind it. You can see that thing for miles and miles, can't you? Shining in the air, going like this. It's shining. I used to know when a fair came to town or something was really going on real great in Bakersfield when I was a little kid, I'd look around and I'd see lights. Going, these lights, they used to shine these lights.
Spotlight.
If something new was happening, they were shining a light. And it was shining and reflecting through the sky. Boy, hey, Grandma, Mama, there's something happening over there. Well, on this earth, people are going to look up there and they're going to say, something's happening up there. Something's happening up there. Because it will be. Boy, what a happening. Beautiful, beautiful time. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. She considered him faithful. In this world, we look around us and we feel inadequate, don't we, sometimes? About all the things we try to do and want to do in life, and
One of the things that I always wanted to do in life was to play a guitar. I used to build guitars, but I wanted to play one really well. I learned notes and everything, and I got to where I could play flamenco guitar really well. I did pretty good. Then a gun blew up in my hand and blew my firing finger off. Just ruined it.
I was so disgusted that I put my guitar in the case and never got it out for over 10 years. But I tried. And my hand would swell up and hurt.
And I even operated on my finger one time. I had a piece of glass in there because I couldn't. And the reason, every time I try to play that guitar, I knew something was in there. I went to the doctor two or three times. Oh, I said, there's nothing in there. You just got an inflamed joint. Finally, I got a knife and cut the thing open, and I felt something real hard down in there. And underneath that ligament was a piece of glass.
I had a wreck and ran the steering wheel through the windshield. I pushed that thing through the windshield. Didn't break it off, just shoved it through the windshield.
Boy. Broke the pedals off of my feet, had my foot on the brake, broke the foot pedal off of the Jeep pickup. It was a one ton. Smashed in the dash. Boy, what a deal. I looked back at that and I said, boy, Lord, I have kept you busy. Boy, I kept him busy. I used to think I was real strong back then, you know.
Here I am. Strong enough to break that foot pedal off. And it didn't shake me around that car. I had a hold of that steering wheel. The guy who was coming at me was doing almost 80 miles an hour. We had almost head on. And I was doing 45. That's a lot of inertia there. I was going back faster backwards than I was going forward. And I just, everything happened all at once. I just smashed that dash in with my knees. Pushed that steering wheel through there. Broke that pedal off with my foot. The key was stuck in my kneecap. Got out and come to the thing around there, and I pulled that bill out of there, broke the key off of the dash, broke it off with my knee. And I walked out of that thing. And the first thing I thought, well, I spilled all these walnuts. Had a whole bag of walnuts in the seat beside me. They were just all over the place. I opened the door of that car, kind of had to beat it open. I got out and looked at it, and I didn't have the front end of my Jeep. It was gone. The engine wasn't even there. I looked over there, here was tires here and tires there and everything else. And just pieces of bits with the ring gear laying out there. Off of the flywheel. It just busted in pieces all over. And I walked over there and I saw this other guy and he's just dead as a doornail. He died right there. And I was just shaking all over and I said, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? And I wasn't certain what you wanted. I said, what do you want?
So I just went on doing what I was doing. I kept on listening, Lord, what do you want every now and then? I'd say like that. 2 weeks later, I had another car wreck. I flipped one, end over end. 2 weeks later, I didn't ever want to get in the car again. That's how I got this extra mouth down here.
I cut my mouth all the way through. I did not. And then so I just grabbed my Bible, had this thing, you know, and had it around. I started reading it from one end to the other. And you know what I found in there, Doug? That was dirty rat.
Here I was supposed to be a child of God, and I was a dirty rat. Well, I sure was glad when I got over the New Testament. You read the Old Testament first and see how good and healthy and it's wonderful, it makes you feel.
I did that. I just, you know, I always read a book from cover to cover. So I just went through there, and the time I got over the New Testament, I was really sorry for what I'd done. But I found out what the Lord forgives me anyway. I just kept on reading the book.
Then it was more fun. More fun. Kind of like when you buy something new and you get the instruction manual with it and you put it together and you wonder, is this thing really working like it's supposed to be working? So you look back at the instruction manual, well, I guess it didn't. It's right.
even thought I'd look at it. He's right.
You have to go back and look at the manual again occasionally and just say, well, maybe I need to change this or do that or do this or whatever.